Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for coming back to my baby little podcast. I am very honored to have you. This is Quinn Tempest, obviously, and you are tuning into the Create Your Purpose podcast. And as I said in episode number one, I'd love to get your feedback. I recorded two episodes as a test just to see what you thought, to try to get the hang of it for myself, and to just see if this is the type of content format you enjoy from me. I personally listen to podcasts all the time, consistently, and so it just made sense for me to give it a try. And really, my intention behind all of this is to introduce you to women who are inspiring, because I believe inspiration is fuel. Inspiration is fuel for us to uncover our purpose, to discover it in the first place, and it's definitely fuel to create our purpose too. Because I believe purpose is not found. It's not going to bonk you on the head in the middle of a quiet moment of meditation. It is something you decide on for yourself and let it guide you in everything that you do, both in business and in life. And that's why I wanted to introduce you to some women who are doing just that, creating their purpose in their business. And today's episode is special because it is with a person who is special to me. Her name is Brianna Clover. She is a racial equity consultant. She actually comes from corporate America, which we talk about a bit in this episode, where she worked in the agribusiness industry. Now, I didn't know what that was, so she pretty much explains it for us. But she really tells the story about being a Black woman in a very white space and having to navigate that, and also learning that that was a way to look back at her past and see how she was always a little different, always a little unique, and always sometimes the only one in the room who was a woman of color. And that changed her. And she decided what she learned in her corporate marketing roles and just being in those spaces was that she had a deeper purpose that she wanted to bring to life. And so what she says is her mission now is that she creates brave spaces to have tough conversations about race. She's the founder of 1619 Consulting, where she does just that with corporate America. And she also has her own personal brand, Brianna Clover, where you can find her on Instagram, where she educates individuals on these exact same things. So I hope you enjoy this conversation, but more so, I hope you learn something from it. You know, Brianna's mission is creating these brave spaces to have tough conversations. And part of the conversation was tough, at least for me. Well, you're going to hear it, but I was having a hard time articulating something I'm still trying to learn and trying to communicate, and also how I can be an entrepreneur and how I can be an anti-racist entrepreneur with a public profile, which is honestly pretty new to me. And so Brie gave me some really good insights, and then she also just shared a huge wealth of insights from her own story as well. So I'm so inspired by Brie. I can't wait for the sparkles of inspiration to get to you from Brie, and I hope you enjoy this episode. I think as a good little podcaster, I'm supposed to ask you to subscribe, so please do that. I'm not sure why. I think that means you just get notifications, but I'm going to learn all that. Don't worry. For now, let's just focus on the stories, the inspirations, and the interviews. So I'm so excited to introduce you to Brianna Clover. Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Create Your Purpose podcast. This is the second one we have ever recorded, and I am so excited to have Brianna Clover here with me today, which you already just learned about. Hi. And Brianna, I just wanted to ask, because I think it's like the question on all of our minds right now, how are you doing? You know, how are you dealing with now we're almost a year into this pandemic? And I know during that time, you even really ramped up your own business. So how are you doing right now? I guess that's to put it simply, how are you?
Thanks for asking. And I feel like I'm tempted just be like, I'm great. How are you? But let's be real for a minute. This last year has been really weird. I don't know if that's the right adjective for it, but it's been a hard year in so many ways. At the same time, this is one thing that I'm learning is to be able to hold grief and stress and joy at the same time. I don't know why, I don't know what about our culture has taught us that it's like an either or thing. Or in times of despair, you can't be happy because then you're, you know, something's wrong with you if you are. So I thought about that a lot in this last year, because while 2020 and early this going into this year has been unprecedented in so many ways, at the same time, it's been probably one of the most joyous years in other ways for me. And part of that, or a big part of that, is because I'm finally making room and living into my purpose.
Well, that's
And that feels good.
exciting. Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think that the idea of grief, it really caught up to me most recently. Like, I didn't realize, I thought I was okay. And then all of a sudden, I noticed my emotions were really on the surface, like, and they could just bubble up so easily. And like, both anger, sadness, and just tiredness. And I thought I was okay, like I said, and it really surprised me. But I'm so interested in your journey in the past year and the past couple of years, especially because, you know, you were able to find some joy and purpose during a year where you didn't think you could. So I'd love to just know, like, what was that transition? Because I know you've been in marketing roles for years, specifically within the agribusiness industry, which I know when we first met, I was like, agro what? I was like, I mean, it made sense, but I'm not normally exposed to that industry. So I know you had a lot of marketing roles in that industry for years. And so how did that take you to now building your own business as, and I don't know exactly what your title is, but I know you do race equity consulting for organizations, for churches, for individuals. So how did you navigate that shift, and how did that even come about in the first place?
Yeah, crazy question. I love talking about it because it has been a journey for sure. So you're right. I've spent about 13 years in multiple sales and strategic marketing roles, mostly on the strategic marketing side in agribusiness. And it's funny because if you would have asked me in my college years if where I saw myself, I would have done the agri what? I didn't grow up in agriculture. It wasn't something familiar to me, but I tell people I accidentally discovered that industry. And I was just really fascinated about where our food comes from and getting to know the farmers and that whole, it's like a whole nother world that so many of us in our generation are very far removed from that, from agriculture or where our food comes from in a lot of ways. So, but unlike, or I would say similar to most corporate America industries, there was not a lot of diversity. And I think especially so in the agricultural industry. And that's part of what I do now is educating why that is. Like, it's not an accident. And so I'm very passionate about that. So I was often the only woman in the room, the only Black woman in the room. All of my customers were white. And I grew up in predominantly white spaces. I come from a biracial family. And so the church that I grew up worshiping in, my dad was the only Black person in that church. My school was not incredibly racially diverse. So I was used to living in predominantly white spaces, but it was like an awareness as I got older into questioning, like, why is that? And also me, being exposed to racism in different ways than I was growing up. The first thing my dad said when he found out I was moving to East Texas, my first role, my first job out of college, the first thing he told me, and I was going to be calling on poultry customers in rural parts of Texas, Arkansas, and Louisiana. And the first thing he told me was, do not stop in these towns in Texas, to stop for gas. And I was like, whoa. So I don't mean to ramble, but I think just my lived experience really fueled my passion. It was always a little fire within me, a little inkling that I had that this isn't where I'm supposed to be forever. And it took me many, many years to finally get the courage to lean into that. But last year was just one of those years, even prior to the pandemic, I was like, this is the year. This is the year. And I did it. I did it. And my passion for educating and for creating a more inclusive, racially inclusive environment for those who come after me in the agribusiness industry specifically is what fueled that within me. But it goes beyond that industry, right? Into churches. And I mean, it's, as all of us know, particularly now, the public awareness, the public discourse around this is has increased significantly over the last few years. And so that's what fuels me. And that's why I was like, I'm going to do this. Like, this is what I want to do.
Yeah, and you're doing it too. And it brings up a quote from that I remember from, I think it's Steve Jobs, and he said, "You can't connect the dots looking forward, you can only connect them looking backwards." And I think it's really interesting how you almost outlined your dots, right? Of growing up, being the only Black woman in the room or person, even in school, and noticing that dot, but not necessarily becoming aware that that was a problem. And then seeing it within your workplace, and then realizing that there was that dot of a fire within you, and you followed that. And I think it's so interesting to kind of connect the dots and see the journey of that fire being kindled in your lived experience, and then transforming that into your business, which is a whole other thing and brings up a lot of fear too, because
Oh, totally.
once you try to change your purpose into something that needs to be profitable, it's a whole different game. So how have you been navigating that? Like what have you been grappling with in the past year to not just feel like you're doing meaningful work, but meaningful work that will sustain you? I know even when we first met, you actually hired me to help you gain clarity around your branding. And so I remember you were like juggling multiple things. You got 1619 Consulting, you've got this idea for a personal brand. So how have you navigated really transforming your purpose into something profitable and sustainable for your livelihood?
So first of all, I don't feel like I have arrived at that. I feel like that's something that I'm continuing to discover and figure out. But one thing that I love that you have taught in the Purpose Collective is action is what drives results, and that was what leads you to more action. And so that's one thing that I have learned in the past, half of a year or so, is just biting it off a little bit at a time. So one of the things, because that was my biggest fear, was how do I sustain myself? So my husband, when I had our firstborn, our only child, 2.5 years ago, about 2 months before I went back to corporate work, we decided he would quit his job and stay at home. There was a lot of anxiety for us around, what life looks like. And I just wasn't quite ready to, send him off to daycare. And we had the privilege of being able to do that in the time. So since then, he's been a stay-at-home dad. So I think that was another added pressure in a way of, I have to bring in the bacon. We have a mortgage. And so the finances was my biggest fear. But I still quit without having a job lined up. And I, looking back at it, I'm so glad I did that, because I'm one that always is, I'm a planner. It has to be all planned out. I'm always on the safe side. And I kept telling myself, Brie, you are a planner. You're not going to fail. The benefit of having over 13 years of experience and in one industry is that I had networks. So worst case, I find another job, or I go back to the job I just left. So lucky for me, again, another privilege is that I was able to find consulting work in the industry I left. And that really gave me room to build my business the way I wanted to build it, and not that pressure of I have to put food on the table. And so that to me was what's helping me grow, the biggest piece of what's helping me grow my business into what I want and to make a living out of it. Also was an external factor that I had no control over, but if any of, we all have seen the news or we're tapped into social media, there is this in some ways, which feels really weird to say, was really good timing to do this work. And so I think that the universe, was telling me something like, now is the time, and there's such a need for it. So that also has helped me propel my business forward in a short amount of time.
Yeah, and do you think almost, the events of the past year almost accelerated your belief in your vision in being bigger? Because Yeah, I just feel like that's something I noticed. You know, with 1619 Consulting, that's kind of your corporate arm, or that's how we were considering it. It's really for organizations. But then I know when we first met, you're like, but I also want to teach individuals. I want to speak to them because, yes, I can approach, you know, racism from a systemic organizational level, but it also has to go from a personal level, right? Because companies are made of people. So do you feel like in the past year, it's really broadened your vision for what's possible in your business?
Absolutely. And I feel like that continues to be the case. The more I'm, immersed and able to create what I don't even know is possible yet, more things reveal themselves to be possible. So absolutely. And I think that that's something I'm still figuring out of, like, what does it look like? And that's I'm trying to dream up what does that look like at the individual level, and even at for solopreneurs and entrepreneurs to do this work authentically. There's not a shortage of a need. And I think where my passion lies is that knowledge and introspection piece, which is so important at the individual level as well as the organizational level. So absolutely, I think if you would have asked me, in May when I quit my corporate job last year, what would life look like, I could never have imagined that. And so I continue to remain hopeful and excited to see what continues to reveal itself when I make time for creativity and for living into my purpose.
Oh, I just got goosebumps. Just because I think I really think you got to the heart of my beliefs about purpose. It's not magic, but it can feel magical. You know, it's broad and it's almost like a container that allows us to dream big and to create big ideas and to be bold in those visions. And I think, you know, the way that maybe I grew up thinking about purpose was it was like this really fixed thing that would kind of bonk me on the head in the middle of a quiet meditation. And suddenly I would know exactly what I was meant to do in my life, exactly what I was meant to do in my career. And it was going to be tied to a what. It was going to be tied to, oh, I'm an actor, or I'm a designer, or whatever. And I think what's so beautiful about your purpose is that it is broad, but it can come to life in so many ways. And like you said, you don't even know what those ways are yet. And I think that's so cool. Like, how, like, what is one of your dreams? Like, what is a unicorn daydream for how your purpose may came to come to life in like the next 5 years? Do you have something like that? Is that even something you want to share?
Yeah, would love to. Thanks for asking. I have so many, but I would love to be a voice of credibility to the agribusiness industry. I want to be that all over, but I really have. I mean, I spent 13 of my years in the agribusiness industry, and there's so much work to do in agribusiness and agriculture. So when I dream big, I think about me, I see myself being a speaker. I see myself bringing people together. I see myself cultivating and creating brave spaces for people to get real with themselves and get real with each other. This whole idea around authenticity and really making authentic change, not performative change, I'm so passionate about. So I really, like, when I envision in the future, I want to be standing up behind a podium and, igniting that passion, and empowerment, or empowering others to do this work and to recognize that all of our lives depend on this work, in some way or another. And sometimes I think we forget about that. Like, we forget about how connected we are as people. And I want to bring that to life. So that would be the first thing that comes to my mind is, and that's what I see and I dream about in the back of my mind.
Yeah, and those visions are so powerful. I'm the same way. I always see myself in this like little daydream on a stage in front of a big crowd. And granted, I've spoken before, but the crowd in this daydream is even bigger. And I'm wearing even more fabulous clothes. And I'm really, of course, and I'm really inspiring people to really create their purpose, to think about what that deeper reason behind their life and business is. And I do think, you know, those images that flash through our brains are they're important and they're vital. And I'm
Absolutely.
not sure we're really taught to first cultivate those images, but then actually believe that they can happen. And that's hard. Yeah, it's hard. And I, it's,
That's so profound what you just said, because I've been thinking a lot about that in raising my son, is
yeah.
that I don't remember being empowered to think bigger. then, and to your point, like I had that same idea of like this purpose was what I want to be when I grow up, a doctor or a veterinarian. And that's so limiting. That's so limiting. And so I think that's just a profound point that you make around the culture and that we grew up in. And that includes the people that we grew up around. So that makes me passionate about wanting to be that person. Like, and I love how you've taken that to a bigger level of really empowering women to do that. That's just so amazing. And I think about that as a mother, like how do we empower our children to think big and to dream big and to lean into their purpose and not be stuck in a job or a situation that isn't, and you know, life fulfilling, life giving. It's nowhere to
Yeah.
live.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point and just like a question I have too of this idea of leaning into our purpose. And I think in the past year, with everything that's happened with the George Floyd murder, with the protests, with all of that, it's really forced me to think about my own purpose to help people bring their ideas to life and to help them create their purpose and to realize that I can't be neutral on these issues because, and this is something I'm still trying to articulate, so bear with me, but I think purpose is a privilege, right? Like it's not something everyone has access to. It's not something anyone can just get or create, right? Because they're almost like that was that hierarchy of needs is there's survival, there's food, there's water. Fulfillment is way up at the top. And if you're struggling just to get food on the table, to go to your job, you're working minimal, you know, all of these different things, and then add being a person of color to that. It's just like there are so many means that our culture holds people back from not just declaring their purpose, but then creating it. And so I think purpose is a privilege, entrepreneurship is a privilege, and I really only came to that, Brie, like to really like be aware of that, like it was another dot for me in the past year.
Thank
And
you for, oh,
yeah,
sorry,
what do you,
finish your
no.
thought.
I
Finish
don't
your
know.
thought.
I want to hear what you think of this because you mentioned authentic, what did you call it? You said authentic versus performative. And it's a struggle for me. I don't
Well,
know. That's
first
it.
of all, thank you for your vulnerability and for naming that. And you're so right. It is a privilege. And that's part of my passion too, is to help inspire others to use their privilege to for good, in ways that maybe they never imagined before. And I don't mean for this to be a business plug, but this is something that one of my business partners has been talking of, or you know, dreaming up is how can we help small business owners specifically who struggle with knowing how do they manage racial contexts, as you know, and how do they be, how can we empower them and help them become confident anti-racist CEOs? And even if that's not your vision or mission of your business is anti-racism or race equity, there's still a tremendous role you can play. And both my partner and I have talked about this, that if all of the entrepreneurs, small businesses, solopreneurs banded together to commit to really bringing this racial lens into the work that they do, and that looks and feels and manifests in different ways, how powerful that really could be. So I just want to appreciate you for naming that. And you're absolutely right. Absolutely right.
Yeah, I think it really just came up for me of just like, you know, I can't, like, what I do is inherently political. And I don't think I realized that before, or I knew how to navigate that as almost, and I don't say this as like I'm a celebrity, even though you kind of said that earlier. Like, you know,
You
I
are
have a,
to
yeah,
me.
like I have a public presence and I have a public profile, and that comes with responsibility. And I'm only just stepping into that and learning how to navigate being an entrepreneur, running a business, also being a human who cares about other humans, but also needing to combine those because what I do is inherently political and how I take a stand communicates to other people my values. And it's honestly, it's just been hard to navigate because the old me, or maybe even the old paradigm we're living in, is like, you don't need to mix the two. Your business is here, and these issues are over here, and they don't need to be the same. In fact, that was almost like encouraged. And I feel like that's almost not that's not okay for me, and that's not really possible anymore. But yet it's very hard for people who haven't thought about this to navigate it.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And another profound thing, like I think we need a quote. Hopefully, when we come back and listen to this, I'm just do some Quinn quotes here. But the ability, what you said is what I do is inherently political, and it's so true. And privilege looks like not having to name and address, quote, politically charged issues on your platform. That in and of
Right.
itself is a privilege. And it's such beautiful words for me to hear. People like yourself say those things and make that recognition. And another thing, I don't want to dismiss the fear that comes with that. A lot of my clients and my networks, I mean, they're like, well, I want to do something, I want to say something, but I don't want to offend and I don't feel confident. And a lot of what I talk about with my clients is when you know that you have grown, when you know you've experienced growth, is when you can become more comfortable with the uncomfortable and knowing that you are going to mess up sometimes and you're not always going to say the right things. But being able to have a voice when you come from a place of privilege, particularly, which, like you said, is all of us entrepreneurs to some extent, that's just so important and it's so powerful. And I feel like if we all recognize the power and influence we actually have and how important our voice is for naming those things, ooh, that's what gives me goosebumps, is to think about that.
Yeah, and I think there's two layers almost. Like you talk about voice, and that's just being present, having a message, and making sure that you speak to those things. But then I think there's a second layer, and this is the thing that I'm trying to figure out how to do, is action, right? And we talked about that from a business perspective, but I think within being an entrepreneur, running an anti-racist business, you also have to foot your message with action. And that's a hard piece too. Just like, well, what action is appropriate? What action is actually helpful? Even it came up when, with one of my recent collective enrollment periods, I was like, oh, should I be offering maybe some scholarships to Black Indigenous people of color? But then there was a good point brought up. It was like, well, you're almost saying like it's a charity case in a sense of like, oh, I'm providing this opportunity at a lower expense because you didn't have. And I'm not going to articulate this well. This was what someone was told me. And it's like, instead, can you put money or action towards things that are actually dismantling systemic racism in our broader culture versus this other action you can take? And I really cannot articulate this well because I'm still working through it, but it was this idea of like what action is best and what action is most powerful. And that's a big struggle for me too, is like, how do I balance both the voice? But I think not having a voice, just having a voice and just having a message is not enough. You actually have to take action. And I think the question is what action is best or what action is most helpful?
Yes, and thank you for processing this out loud. I love having these conversations, and I think they're so important. And that's why I talk so much about creating brave spaces, because these kinds of conversations are so important. So one thing, there's a couple things that are coming up for me as you were saying that. One thing, so I've built, and with your guidance and support and your consulting to help me think through this, it's like I built a racial equity framework, and there's three pillars to that: knowledge, introspection, and action. And part of also what I teach, though, that in this cult, like I talk a lot about culture and socialization because they're very connected to the many different identities we have as a society and as individuals. And one of that is our racial identity. And I talk about this culture that kind of teaches us that action and measurement of action is the value. And so while I don't deny that action's important, to your point, it has to be authentic and you have to, you can't just talk about it. I really encourage people to spend a lot of time in the knowledge and introspection piece because that in and of itself is action. Like we can't solve a problem that we don't understand. So it's so important that we learn, like, what is the problem? And I love to use the example that you just gave around providing scholarships for BIPOC. That actually would be a good action when we think about how systemic racism has disadvantaged BIPOC communities. I've seen a lot of BIPOC entrepreneurs actually offer, if they're offering a workshop or training, there's a BIPOC rate and there's those who identify as white rate, and the BIPOC rate is less. I've seen that. And I do believe like that is addressing a systemic issue. And if we were able to take the time and dedicate the time to have that knowledge of how systemic racism manifests itself, those actions would make more sense. And we'd feel more confident, like, oh, okay, yeah, like that could be, so that's something that I can do as a small business owner or as a solopreneur. So I don't know. I feel like I'm rambling now, but I just, that just made me think of the importance, and for us not to undervalue the importance of the first two pillars, knowledge and introspection, because we're trained to think what we have to do. And sometimes what we do causes further harm.
Right.
The intent is not that. So I love spending a lot of time in that knowledge and introspection. And then of course, yeah, okay, let me help you then to figure out, okay, with that said, now what? So what, now what?
Yeah, no, I love that. I think that makes so much sense of like, you don't have to rush to action. And I love a good framework. So yay for your framework. But I think that that makes sense to really digest it, to think about it. And then when you're ready, transform that into action and obviously make sure you get ready. And I think, you know, the one thing that I did feel comfortable doing was, so in Arizona, we can donate our estimated taxes to charitable contributions, basically to charities. And they have to be approved. And so I went through this whole list and found this amazing program called Hustle Phoenix, which empowers entrepreneurs in the inner city, in Phoenix, and people of color. And so I decided I'm already having to pay my taxes. So I'm going to donate it. And then I claim that on the taxes. So instead the money goes to them versus the state. And so I felt comfortable with that action because I understood it. Whereas I wasn't quite yet comfortable in understanding providing scholarships or things like that within my own business, if that makes sense. So
that's kind of where
I like your framework because it makes sense of like, this is the action I felt comfortable with. And I still need to do some work in the first two pillars to figure out other actions that are more directly related to my business versus like in kind of a donation.
Yes. And I love that because honestly, donations are so important, and that empowers organizations and people who have been doing this work
exactly
for a long time, who know what they're doing. It's like, okay, like you lead, I trust your leadership. I want to support that in this way.
Yeah.
So I love that because that is another important action, and it's something that feels authentic to you.
Mm-hmm.
And just the fact that you took that action, like that's what I love to like inspire people. It doesn't take the moving of a mountain. And this sounds skeptical and a little Debbie Downer, but I tell people you're not going to solve racism.
Oh,
racism isn't going to be solved in our generation.
No.
And so I don't know, but for me, that in a sense, in some weird twisted way, that's comforting to me because I'm not trying to end racism. I'm trying to change hearts, a few people's hearts. I'm trying to change a couple policies or a few policies that I know would be, you know, like we got to chip away one little chip at a time. And again, because that's what our nation, like that's what I talk about, the history and the knowledge, like that's what our nation was built on. It's not going to change in a generation, in multiple generations. So I hope, like, I always preface that, like, I don't want to be the Debbie Downer, but at the same time, hopefully that, and you know, kind of just like relieves our shoulders a little bit to be like, okay, let's one step at a time, one baby, one crawl, one inch at a time.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, you mentioned that Brave Conversations is such a cornerstone to your business and both multiple arms of your business. So what is a Brave Conversation and how do they come about and how do you really center your business around that idea?
Great question. So I was actually inspired by Nikki Scott Bay Jones, and she She's a writer, an author, a speaker. She facilitates healing and resilience initiatives, and she's very much into social justice and racial justice. And she wrote a poem called "Invitation to Brave Space." And I would to encourage everyone to look it up. "Invitation to Brave Space" by Nikki. Maybe we can link to it if you have. But oftentimes, when we talk about issues of race or any kind of politically charged issue that we're bringing into a conversation, there's already that tension going into it. And oftentimes we say, not, this is not a place to have those conversations, or we say, unless these spaces are safe. And the problem I think with calling them safe is that safe for the dominant group, so in this case about race, it'd be white people, is not necessarily safe for people of color, Black, Indigenous, or people of color. And so I think brave better describes what we all need to bring into bravery. We need to have the courage and the authenticity to recognize, to speak up, and to recognize that we might be put in our place. We might be told that, that we need to rethink our perspective on things. We might have to unlearn a lot of what we learned, we've been told or believed our entire life. We might have to unpack a lot of uncomfortable stuff, and that takes bravery. And so, a brave space doesn't mean we walk away with everything solved and everything perfect. A brave conversation means we go into it with a level of authenticity and bravery, and we walk out with that same, with that confidence that we didn't solve everything and there's so many more questions, but we're in this together. And so that's kind of, and I would love, like, I don't know if this is appropriate. I could read the poem as part of the video, or part of the
Yes,
video.
I would
Would
love
love
that.
to. Okay, I'll do it now. Together, we will create brave space, because there is no such thing as a safe space. We exist in the real world. We all carry scars, and we have all caused wounds. In this space, we seek to turn down the volume of the outside world. We amplify voices that fight to be heard elsewhere. We call each other to more truth and love. We have the right to start somewhere and continue to grow. We have the responsibility to examine what we think we know. We will not be perfect. This space will not be perfect. It will not always be what we wish it to be, but it will be our brave space together, and we will work on it side by side.
Yes. That was good. That's really beautiful.
It always gives me goosebumps whenever I read it. And I start a lot of my workshops with this, because that, I mean, that's what we need more of, is brave spaces. And I'm so passionate about that.
And is that your purpose? I know inside the collective, I encourage you to declare your purpose. And really my lesson is that it is broad. It is personal, it is uniquely resonant to you, and it can come to life in so many ways. So what is your purpose on that broad level, and how did declaring it make you feel? Like, 'cause I feel like you had a purpose and you knew it. Like, it was just clarifying it and also making sure all of your other arrows were pointing in the same direction too. It's about alignment. So what is your purpose, and how did you go about declaring it?
Well, first of all, thank you for helping me taking this group through that. But I think my ultimate purpose is to ignite the power within others to make authentic change. Because a brave space is an authentic space. And one thing that you challenge us to do is to, like, create our impact statement. So, like, what is that, the because around that? And my because is because I truly believe in the transformative power of knowledge and reflection. That then leads to racial healing and liberation. And that secret sauce to getting there is overcoming our fears and being brave. So that's where I think the brave, fits in.
I love it.
Thank you. I do
I
too.
think it's those layers, right? It's like, okay,
Yeah.
what's my why? And then the impact statement is like the why to the why, right? It's like,
Yes.
why do I care about this? What is that emotional motor that is moving me forward? And then from there, you get to be really creative about how it comes to life. Like, I know for
Yeah.
you have 1619 Consulting, which is again like the corporate arm. You've got Brianna Clover, your personal brand, which is almost the umbrella. And then I know you also did these lunch and what I love how you call it lunch and unlearned with a collaborator. So how have you kind of seen your why come to life in many what's, and has knowing that broad why helped align things a little bit better? And I know that's something we worked on together when we first met.
Yeah, definitely. And I think I'm still figuring that out. I'm still like looking at all of the spokes, but I think, and that's what I really appreciated about our session is, I had all these ideas and I just needed to put, make some sense of them. And so I really think, yes, like I think through all aspects of what I'm trying to build as a personal brand and as a brand through 1619 Consulting and anything that's added on to that is this idea of, I mean, it is. It's about we have it's about having a level of authenticity in the hard, messy work of racial justice. And in all aspects, I've tried to weave that in, And I think it's and I continue to challenge myself, and I'm not perfect at that. But when I think about prospective clients or what other things do I want to offer, I always come back to that. That is this going to help others? Either empower them, either challenge them, either create or cultivate within them that passion and that understanding and that drive that they have a role in this work. Like if everything I do goes back to that, then I feel like I can sleep well at night. And I still am challenged with trying to think of creative ways to do that and what that might look like in 6 months from now, in a year.
And it can
5 years.
change, it can evolve. I think that's the fun part of purpose is like it can keep coming to life in all these different ways. And I love that because you almost talk about purpose as I think of it. You know, my visualization is almost, and this is a little weird, but it's like purpose is like a little shining gold orb that I can like hold in my hand and also hold other orbs up to it and say, like, does this help me create my purpose or doesn't this move me away from it? How about this? Does this help me bring it to life or does this hinder it coming to life? And I think it's almost this benchmark that we can just hold things up to and ask these questions. And the power of the questions is in understanding that they help us be more intentional about what we do, both on the big level and also on the day-to-day level, just to make sure that almost all of our orbs, all of our arrows, all of our thoughts, behaviors, and actions are aligned with this thing. And of course, it's never going to be perfect. It's never going to be 100%. And that's not the goal. It's just about how do we be more purposeful more of the time and move ourselves in the direction and our business in the direction that we think will make the most impact.
Yes, so well said. And I love the orb and metaphor. Is that what you call it? I
I don't
love
know. I
that.
just like see it in my head.
Yes. And so then you bring some other things, and if the light's dim, then you're like, if the light rises a
Oh,
little
I
bit,
love that. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. That's what I was imagining as you were describing that.
Oh, perfect. I'm going to work on that. That was a dress rehearsal. Well, I would love to do some rapid fire questions, and I know I didn't prepare you for this, but I think they'll be fun. So, first rapid fire question, what is one routine or ritual that keeps you sane?
Meditation. And I'm not an expert on that, but meditation. Like I'm really trying to incorporate that every morning, and it seriously makes such a difference.
Yes, I do 10 minutes on my Peloton app and I love it.
Yeah,
So
yep, 10 minutes. It's all you need.
that's all you need. What does being a purpose-driven entrepreneur mean to you?
Not being afraid to pay attention to what your purpose is, to live into that, and in any possible way that feels right to you in the moment, and to pay attention to those signs that the universe is giving you to live into your purpose.
Yeah, those little dots that are dropped all along the way. What is one main value that guides your life and business? So, for example, for me, one of my big values is creativity and and curiosity and experimentation. So what is one of yours?
So I feel like I probably have said this. I'm curious how many times I've said this, but authenticity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one. We'll leave it at that.
Okay.
What is the biggest mistake you've made in your business or the single best thing you've ever done in your business? And maybe that thing is a mistake too.
Ooh, so I am a perfectionist, and so I always quickly can think of the mistakes before the great things. And one thing I think that I'm still trying to hone in on is saying yes to everything and filling my calendar with all these great ideas and these meetings, and then I leave little space to actually create. So that's one thing I'm trying to be more intentional about not doing this year.
Yeah, that's a struggle though, because you get so excited,
Yes.
and especially like the stage you're in, there are probably a lot of really cool opportunities either coming your way or you're creating. And it's really hard to say no
Yeah.
because you really think everything could help you. And
Yeah.
unfortunately, when we say yes to everything, we kind of by default say no to other things. And that could be our mental health, that could be our physical health, that could be this big project we've always had in the back of our minds. And we don't think of that when we say yes, that we're actually saying no to something else, or
You're so
vice versa.
right.
Yeah.
I need to record what you said, and that can be part of my morning meditation.
Perfect.
Is you know, when you say yes to everything, you're still saying no to something.
Yeah, or and vice versa. When you say
Yeah.
no to things, you're also saying yes to other. And I think that's another little like intentional mindset trick is like, what
Yeah.
am I saying yes to when I say no? And what am I saying no to when I say yes? And you can start to be intentional about the exchange of energy between yes and no, and just
Yes.
understand that there it's not a sacrifice, it's an exchange. And if you're not being intentional about that exchange, you don't even know it is happening sometimes.
Beautifully said. Beautifully said.
Okay, last question. What is one book that you would recommend to listeners that you just would love to recommend?
Oh my gosh, I am so bad at this. I'm a serial book buyer.
Yeah.
So my bookshelf is full of books that I haven't read yet. Okay, one that I just listened to because it's actually a short one, and it's Between the World and Me by Ta-Nehisi Coates.
Yes, I have that on my Goodreads list, I
Yes,
think.
it's like a 3-hour listen, I think. So profound, but it's so hard for me to choose one, but that's the one, I guess, the first one that came to mind.
And that's not, I know he has a new fiction book. That's not the fiction book, right?
That's right. So this one is essentially a letter that he wrote to his son.
Yes. I read a very long article about it and thought it sounded great. I just haven't gotten to it yet. So I like that one as a recommendation too for
Good.
me.
All right, we'll stick with it then.
Well, Brianna, thank you so much for coming on here, having a brave conversation with me and a Create Your Purpose
Yeah.
conversation. Where can listeners connect with you online?
So my Instagram handle is at Brianna Clover. And I do have, that's probably the best place. I have a website, 1619consulting.com, and that's more of like the business side of things. And then my personal website is briannaclover.com. And that kind of leads you to all the things that I'm creating and my thoughts and my dreams and all the good stuff.
Yeah, and she's got some really great writing and blogs on her site, so everyone should definitely check that out. And I see you being active on Instagram, so I love seeing you there. So thank you everyone for tuning in. Go follow Brianna and keep having brave conversations. Hi again, it's Quinn. I hope you enjoyed this episode with Brianna Clover. I know for me it was challenging and inspiring and just gave me so much to think about, and I hope that's what it gave you too. Just things to chew on, to think about, to reflect on, and when you're ready to take action on, but only when you're ready. And I love that Brianna kind of broke down her framework to give us permission to reflect first and take action next. So thank you for tuning in. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And also shoot me an email or shoot me a DM on Instagram. I'm on there far too much. And let me know, would you like to hear more from me? Do you like this idea? I enjoy podcasts so much. I know I mentioned that, but I would just want to know if this is the format you want to hear from me on, because I'll keep doing it if you're game. So let me know, DM me, email me, and thanks again for tuning in.